Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Proposing an amendment to Section 6 of Article 7, the creation of Section 7 of Article 8, and the creation of a new section in Article 12 of the State Constitution to increase the exemption for homestead and property from all ad valorem taxation other than school district levies annually for 10 years by a certain amount, to make homestead property exempt from all ad valorem taxation other than school district levies beginning in a specified year, to prohibit local governments from reducing total funding for services provided by law enforcement, firefighters, and other first responders, and provide an effective date.
So, this was the two and a half, hour conversation on the Florida House floor last Thursday. We talked a little bit about this with Alex Andrade, but I didn't have any real meetings to listen to, and I thought, well, you know, I'm kind of curious what the conversation around the elimination of property tax vote was going to be. I did not know I was bargaining for that long of a discussion, but it's okay. I was doing other work, so, you know, it's kind of like, let's keep my – it's that or spring training baseball, and, you know, I opted for legislative history. Anyway, because I'm a fool. But I was listening to this, and I thought, oh, we definitely have to talk about this because – the entire conversation around this issue was so fascinating, so misguided, so bizarre. And I'm not talking about the Democrats. I'm talking about the Republicans that I just, you know, we have to talk. So this is going to be if the Senate takes it up. Now, everything is kind of with that in the as the subtext that the Senate still has done. What is it? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. On the issue of property taxes. So Governor DeSantis has also done nothing but complain that the House's stuff isn't what he wants, but he hasn't said what he does want, and the Senate hasn't done anything yet. So we might get nothing. But if the Senate takes up what the House has done, you know, we'd get rid of property taxes starting in January for your homestead, the non-school slice. So you'd still have to pay school property taxes, but you wouldn't have to pay anything else. And we'll get to all this in a second. Representative Monique Miller was the one running the bill. She says cost.
So in the first year, the total is $4.8 billion, and the overall impact is $14.7 billion.
And what she means by first year is because the original version of this bill, the one that they were debating in the beginning, and that's also important, was going to be the 10-year step down. You basically start off in the first year, and then you'd increase your homestead exemption by $100,000 every year until eventually it's all of it in the last year. So it would, you know, right around year two or three for most people, given what you already have an exemption for, it would be the value of your home. But if your home is worth $5 million, you know, you go 9 years and, you know, you're exempting, you know, some of it. But then eventually the last year would just wipe it all out. And yes, that means that people who have, you know, $4-5 million homes who are paying hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in, you know, property taxes, they also will be paying nothing on their homestead. So the natural question is, well, what are you going to make the money up with? If cities and counties make an enormous, and they do, it's not all of their budget, but depending on the county or the city, and, you know, it could be anywhere from 20% to like 60 or 70% of their general revenue, depending on how they're configured with fees and other things, okay, ad valorem, which is based on the value of your home, your standard regular old property tax, is a pretty huge slice of their budget.
Will this go to a service fee kind of payment system for services for our citizens?
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I mean, I can't possibly speak to any scenario that would go forward. My understanding of the situation is I look at the numbers, and the numbers are big enough to cover the costs of local government. So I'm not expecting fees to go up, and I can't understand how that burden would ever fall back on them.
Seriously? you just think that cities and counties are just going to eat it. And by the way, that is the view. The view being offered by the Republicans, the bill sponsor, the primary, you know, arguer there, Monique Miller, yeah, they're just going to take it. We're going to cut their revenue by, again, generally 30, 40, 50%, somewhere in that vicinity, okay? And so we're talking, you know, like for the city of Pensacola, rough numbers. I think it's like a $250 million budget, I think, it's in that vicinity. So, you know, it's not a big deal. It's only like $80 million. You know, it's not even enough to pay for PPD. PPD costs more than the ad valorem taxes on homesteads. But, you know, more on that later. And so the answer is no, fees aren't going to go up. They're just going to make less money. And you're going to have all that money in your pocket and everything's going to be fine. And that's their view. They think, okay, or she thinks, and they weren't, you know, the people who voted for it kind of support that, that they're not going to make the revenue up some other way. They're just going to learn to live within their means.
Representative, I'm interested to know what specific revenue sources do you propose to replace the non-school ad valorem revenues this amendment that it'll eliminate, like state sales tax, new state appropriations, or higher local taxes on non-homestead property?
The short answer is none.
So you know how for months we've been talking about if they do this, what they need to do is allow a different mechanism for raising the revenue that cities and counties need to operate. We assumed it'd be some kind of a, you know, allow, you know, sales tax increase because there's only so much sales tax you can add on. And no such provision has been made. Well, so then you could do, you know, fees. Well, some of that stuff is limited too. But, you know, even if you started doubling and tripling your fees, it wouldn't be enough to make up all the money. And her answer is, well, they won't even need to do that. There's no alternate revenue that they're going to need to make up to do the services. Well, okay. So, you know, as Rashawn Young, these are all Democrats asking questions. First was Allison Tant. This is Rashawn Young. He says, okay, so we're not going to provide other revenue. Well, then what services do you think are going to be cut? Because it's kind of one or the other, or both. You know, if you're going to cut revenue, obviously you have to cut spending. They have to have a balanced budget by Constitution. So, okay, what's your spending cut going to be?
So, Representative, if municipal ad valorem revenues decline due to the exemption expansion, right, but public safety spending is constitutionally locked, which services are municipalities expected to cut to balance their budgets?
And by the way, that's an important note. There's a provision in there that you cannot cut first responder services. So they're telling the cities and counties, you must cut revenue because we're going to make it so you can't take homestead property revenue. And you have to keep services for first responders at the same level they're at right now. That's a requirement in the bill, which sounds like a good thing, except, okay, like City of Pensacola spends more on PPD than it makes in ad valorem. Now you take away the ad valorem and they still have to keep PPD at the same level. Okay, well, what gets cut instead?
As I said before, I don't expect that they'll have to cut services. I think we're going to all have to sit down and have some hard discussions.
Okay, so we're dramatically cutting revenue, and, they're not going to cut services. They're just going to do it smarter. They're going to do all the same stuff that has gone up in price over the last 5 years, because COVID had a dramatic impact on prices, and they're going to just, they'll find a way. You know, there's so much fluff in the budget right now that they can cut, again, it just depends on the municipality, 20, 40, 60% of their revenue, and they'll figure it out. You know, they'll just save their dimes and renegotiate their contracts, and they won't cut services. I mean, this is not an adult proposal. At least be honest. At least say, because there are other times when she says, yes, we're going to get back to the right size of government. Government is going to, you know, okay, but at the expense of what? And listen, I should say this. I hate property taxes. Philosophically, I hate them. As a taxpayer, I hate them. I think that they're unjustified, though my good friend Josh Newby, you know, he at least offers an interesting argument for their justification. I despise the idea that if you don't pay the rent, the government takes your property. That's a property tax. I don't agree with it at all. But how are you going to fund government? Well, you just cut. Government's too big to begin with. Okay, so they don't fix roads. So they don't maintain parks. So they don't do services that benefit children. I mean, you can't cut law enforcement, fire, EMS, according to the constitutional amendment. So where do you cut? I mean, and by the way, some of those costs are enormous costs. So Monique Miller's answer is they will just get better at it.
The last 2 years here in the Florida House, we've had those tough discussions, and we've brought forth budgets that are billions of dollars less than they were the previous years. And it takes work to sit down and make those things happen. And I'm expecting that this is going to stimulate a culture of thrift across our great free state. And we're going to end up having these conversations at all levels of government.
They'll just buy cheaper dump trucks. That's what they'll do. They've been wasting all their money on uniforms until now for sanitation. You know, you don't need to replace mop heads on the janitors at City Hall as often as you do. Light bulbs, let them be out. No big deal. Just be thriftier. But seriously, again, this is just not an adult proposal. This is fantasy land, you know, unicorn nonsense. The idea that, well, they'll just figure it out. No big deal.
There are some cities they're going to lose.
By the way, just in case you were wondering, the state budget has, in fact, also gone up 37% since 2020. They are not proposing to cut the state budget by 37%. Because the benchmark on this, remember the whole Doge thing, is look at how much more money cities and counties are making since 2020. And it's, you know, in some cases, it looks like an awful lot. And what the cities and counties say is, well, A, inflation, B, everything is more people live here, okay? And they say, well, per capita doesn't justify the rate, okay? And inflation doesn't justify the rate. I say, well, you know, I don't want to talk to my finance people because they're not idiots. They're not wasting the money. When I talk to the county administrators and the county commissioners, city council and the mayor, you know, they're not like just pouring money out on the side of the road, wasting it. Well, yes, they are, because the numbers are outrageous. Well, your numbers are even up almost 40% since 2020. What are you doing? Oh, well, that's different. That's the state. Exactly. This is the state putting a fiscal constraint on the cities and counties that it is not willing to embrace for itself.
There are some cities that are going to lose 90% of their budget, 68% of their budget. So I want to understand how you keep alluding to the state when you're basically cutting the legs off these cities and counties right away.
I do not expect that there's that we are. I don't agree with your characterization that we are cutting off the legs under local government.
Maybe just one leg.
Property taxes at the homesteaded property taxes account for about 36% of all ad valorem taxes. That's not a huge number. And again, the first year impact of this bill is less than $5 billion across the entire state. That's less than 10%. That we're asking people to cut, and we're asking them to do it over time.
we're not cutting the legs off. It's just, you know, a leg, maybe a foot, you know, maybe both feet, not the legs. It's nuts, okay? And then if you want to hear the actual proposals for how do we solve this, well, you know, maybe if you're a small town with a small police department, maybe you just have the sheriff do the job.
We're going to be looking for efficiencies in our local governments. If you're a city with a, you know, five cops, I think it's time to start asking your sheriff, is this something that where we can work collaboratively to figure out how we can gain efficiencies and save money that way?
Remember, we've said several times, the Doge report, the end of the Doge report, Florida Doge report was, you know, maybe we should get rid of cities entirely. Small cities. And listen, maybe small cities should go away. You know, some of them, sure. You know, I love Dave Merzen. You know, I genuinely love Dave Merzen. But, I mean, Century should disincorporate. Everyone knows it. Okay? There are certainly places where it doesn't make sense to have an incorporated municipality. Okay? But whose decision is that? Is that the state's decision or is that the local citizen's decision? You have a small police department? Maybe just dissolve. By the way, which they can't do. Because they can't cut services for law enforcement. And, okay, we'll have the sheriff do it.
But that costs money.
Because you're going to have the sheriff has to have more people now. And you can't, they're losing revenue too because of this. Well, not the sheriff, though, the county. I mean, John, I'm a reasonable person. I like to listen to people be reasonable. This was the most unreasonable, irrational, ridiculous, childish thing that I think I have ever heard my party do at the state level. And I've seen them do a lot of such things. This was great. Oh, and by the way, just for fun, the argument was, oh, that's going to be gradual. No big deal. They've got 10 years to adapt. About an hour into the conversation, the very next step of this that I'm going to talk about is the amendment came in to change it. because you've heard this, the 10-year step down, right? That's been what we've talked about many times. No, no, no. 100% of non-school ad valorem taxes go away in January. No 10 years. Next year. Now, here's the other side of the argument. If the citizens want this, the citizens can vote for it. And if it makes government suck, well, you just, you know, storm ponds don't get mowed and potholes don't get fixed and storm drains don't get repaired and parks don't get maintained. And you just, you know, enjoy your property taxes. You have that money to spend however you want to spend it. And we're just not going to provide these services because that's the only reasonable outcome of this is that services will get cut. And look, if citizens want to do that, they can do that. But here's the funny thing. They don't need a constitutional amendment to do that. Do you realize that if, for example, Escambia County, if Escambia County citizens wanted property taxes eliminated, we could elect county commissioners this year who run on an eliminate property taxes platform and they could just eliminate property taxes. They don't have to have them. They could do it. Why haven't they? Because the net total of all the people and what they want adds up to having property taxes. Because if it didn't, you wouldn't keep electing people who believe in them. You'd elect people who say they're going to get rid of them. You don't even need a constitutional amendment to. And by the way, if you do it individually by cities and counties, then guess what? You don't have to do what Miami says in the whole state. We'll come back to this next hour. Lots to get to. I've only started. It's a huge conversation. I'm Andrew McKay.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons!
On it!
Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
Don't you hate it when you wake up and feel like you already missed something important? The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Weekdays, 5 to 9. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
I'm a single, successful guy. And this is my last year in school. I mean, this could be the best year of my life. I just feel like I need my freedom now, you know?
I'm here to find you. Reveal yourself to me. As I
wait. Somebody texted in. Oh, it's no big deal. Municipal costs can be paid by sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows.
Yes.
Or I can afford to keep the lights on if I lose 36% of my revenue as long as I get a two-hour-a-week job from the state paying $100,000 a year.
Feed
it's
your
the
kids.
James Uthmeyer plan.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, there's more on that. Did you see this? Oh my God. Here's the short version. James Uthmeyer's office hates Alex Andrade so much that his staffers tried to stage, like, to gin up a protest at his last subcommittee hearing on the healthcare budget by telling pro-life groups that he was cutting crisis pregnancy funding in the budget, which he's not. And by saying he's a partner at his law firm that is defending Planned Parenthood against the state, he's not a partner. He does not participate in that. And they're saying that he's making money off of Planned Parenthood. So they lied. And then they actually, the guy who sent out the notice to all these pro-life groups on like Sunday night, gave them sign ideas for the protest to show up at the and said,
wow.
Come to James Uthmeyer's office and we'll pray together before the protest, and we'll help you get your mind right with your fake signs and your lie-based arguments, and you can show up and protest him on his last day of the committee here. And nobody showed up because Alex, somebody called him and said, is this true? And he's like, no. What? And so the pro-life groups that had almost gotten themselves co-opted into a liar's plan by Uthmeyer or his staff or both. And then they denied it. Like Jeremy Redfern denied it. And then eventually somebody put out, you know, shared what had been sent out. And they're like, oh, yeah, and stuff. This is the most incompetent attorney general's office. I can't even fathom it. It's amazing. But okay, there you, well done.
Wow.
Or something. David, do you have anything for us quickly? Sorry.
The State of the Union address is tonight. At least a dozen Democrat lawmakers are planning to boycott that. Lots of boycotting going on.
Maybe they could contact Jeremy Redfern, and James Uthmeyer's office, and they could get sign ideas.
Right. Oh, that would be good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, 8 o'clock here on News Radio will be carrying that live for you. And the good news is President Trump promises it's going to be extra long. Not kidding.
Fox News, I'm TJ Papa. President Trump delivers his first State of the Union in his second term, and he will lay the framework for the all-important November midterms.
We expect him to address topics that will define elections across the country. So we're talking about the economy, trade and tariffs, and immigration. This comes amid the backdrop, of course, of the Supreme Court's ruling against his sweeping tariffs last week and the looming threat of potential military action against Iran.
Fox's Matt Rivera, dozens of Democrats say they will not attend. Millions of people are like this man after the blizzard of 26.
A lot more snow and running out of spaces to put it.
Northeast and New England digging out.
The cleanup process is really just beginning. Power is probably the biggest concern as of this morning. This one came with some extreme winds. In fact, hurricane force wind gusts rocked parts of the state.
Fox's Melanie Black in Boston. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got a very chilly start to our morning. 31 degrees with clear skies. We'll get to our forecast. Brooke Richardson's got that for us in just a few minutes. Construction continuing on that new Palafox project in downtown Pensacola. We're in week 8 right now. Crews are working to upgrade stormwater systems and refresh the streetscape. But that's not all that's going on down there. Archaeologists also keeping a close eye on what's beneath the roadway's surface. City leaders say council policy requires consideration of potential archaeological impacts during those major projects. A team from the University of West Florida is monitoring all of the digging and searching for any intact historical deposits tied to Pensacola's colonial past. Speaking of the city of Pensacola is expanding a program that helps military members as they transition into civilian careers. SkillBridge program places service members into workplaces during their final months in the military. Previously, the city's partnership was limited to the police department, but now it also includes some occupations at the Pensacola International Airport and could expand into other city departments as well. Mayor D.C. Reeves says the partnership lets the city tap into an incredible talent pool while also helping veterans continue their public service. Now, the state's tourism numbers are up. This story from News Radio's Chris Bryan. He says visitors from Canada haven't been coming to the Sunshine State.
Florida welcomed 143 million visitors last year. That's up slightly from 2024. New numbers showing domestic tourism led the way with 131 million U.S. travelers, and overseas travel also increased. But Canadian tourism continues to drop. Florida saw 2.9 million Canadian visitors in 2025. That's down 15% from the year before. Tourism leaders say they're expanding efforts to bring those Canadian visitors back. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. The Galvez Landing boat ramp is closing for about a week, starting on Monday, March 2nd, if you're planning on taking the boat out. And that's your normal ramp. You can use the Mahogany Mill, Navy Point, or Perdido Bay boat ramps while it's closed. Now, that closure is expected to last about a week. It should reopen by around March 9th. Of course, that is weather permitting. The Okaloosa County School Board has voted unanimously to close Longwood and Mary Esther Elementary Schools at the end of the semester, citing financial pressures and declining enrollment. Their superintendent, Marcus Chambers, called it the hardest decision of his career, saying the district has cut $22 million over the past 2 years and expects to reduce another $12 million this year. He pointed to enrollment declines, state budget constraints, and the impact of Florida's School Choice Scholarship Program as the key factors in that decision. It is 534 at News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at a sunny day today with some cooler temperatures. Highs topping out near 55 degrees this afternoon with mostly sunny skies. Tonight, temperatures a little bit more mild, around 46 degrees. For Wednesday, partly sunny skies, high near 71 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. Heading into Thursday, 50% chance of rain, high near 72. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 57. Second Active Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEARTV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And 30 degrees right now. We've got clear skies. Our next news at 6 a.m. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. U.S. Steel has announced it secured permission from the Allegheny County Health Department to build a 100 million slag recycler at the Edgar Thompson Works. The company added that a critical air quality permit arrived on Friday. Construction is slated to begin this summer and will take about a year. Uber said it is acquiring parking app Spot Hero for an undisclosed sum. The company said it plans to offer a parking reservation experience powered by Spot Hero for events and at venues and airports. Uber said it expects the deal to close in the first half of this year. Reuters reports that Chinese AI startup DeepSeek's latest AI model, set to be released as soon as next week, was trained on NVIDIA's most advanced AI chip in what could represent a violation of U.S. export controls. The U.S. believes DeepSeek will remove the technical indicators that might reveal its use of American AI chips. Futures are slightly higher. On Monday, the Dow Industrials lost 821. That's Your Money Now.
Building-related illnesses. We get a lot of calls for this. Who do you know that is sick from the building they're in? Hi, this is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. Building-related illness symptoms include coughing, sneezing, headaches, itchy, watery eyes, and a host of breathing problems. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we have the solution. We can inspect, clean, and treat your AC system so you'll feel great. If you have dust issues or health problems that you feel are related to your home or office building, you should give us a call. We'll share the tips and secrets you need to know for a comfortable, healthy indoor environment. Gulf Coast Air Care is at 850-934-2768. Our service will extend the life of your air conditioner and your system will be much more energy efficient too. Let us help you by cleaning the most neglected system in your home or workplace. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com.
Edit, Sarah.
Serious cleaning, Gulf Coast Air Care.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us today at 10 a.m. to find out what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in today at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You recognize the smell of marijuana, but it's not just a smell. It's a warning. If you can smell it, harmful chemicals are entering your lungs, bloodstream, and brain, and our children too. Every inhale affects brain development and triples the risk of serious respiratory issues. Protect your kids and grandkids from the dangers of marijuana. Their future is on the line. This message is sponsored by the Department of Children and Families and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Members of Congress, the President of the United States.
Tonight at 7 p.m., President Donald Trump will address a joint session of Congress to lay out his vision for his administration in the State of the Union address. News Radio 92.3 will have special coverage of the address, followed by the Democratic response. Hear it live on News Radio 92.3.
Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing.
5:39 News Radio 92.3. Of course, the Trump tariffs under the IEEPA statute got struck down on Friday. Since then, there's been developments, including this morning. It's not 15% anymore. It's back down to 10%. Maybe it'll be 5% more here. I mean, this changes every day. But understanding the tariffs, which ones do and don't apply, which ones are legal, not legal, the history of all of this stuff. We had a really good conversation yesterday with my good friend Henry Kelly, who is a principal at Blue Wind, and he's a licensed customs broker. So he knows this stuff. He's literally actually the guy who taught me a lot of this stuff, both directly and indirectly, because I was listening to a great presentation that he gave on this couple months. He's the one I played all those clips from explaining all this stuff previously. So, Henry, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. Good to have you.
Well, Andrew, thank you. I was wondering what bumper music I would get, and the Supreme Court did say tariffs are taxes, so you know we're working it.
Hey, just a quick thing: I know you were not surprised by the outcome. Neither was I. The only thing that did surprise me is that it wasn't 8-1. I mean, I thought Alito would go the other way, but I was surprised that Thomas and Kavanaugh actually joined him in this. Yes. Were you surprised by that?
I was very surprised by that. Kavanaugh especially. I was in the 7-2, 8-1. You know, Thomas was a coin toss, but Kavanaugh really surprised me, and I never thought I would be criticizing a Supreme Court justice for flawed logic, but here we are.
Yeah. Well, okay, so let's just talk about what did actually happen. Maybe give a, 30-second, what is an IEEPA tariff anyway? Because I think a lot of people don't understand this, and you know, the nature of the emergency that justifies an IEEPA tariff and so forth. So tell us where how did we get here? And then, you know, what did the Supreme Court say?
Well, an IEEPA tariff was a fictional thing cut out of whole cloth by the Trump administration this time. The statute refers to the ability of a president to place sanctions on a country from 1977 in response to the oil embargoes. But nowhere in there did it mention tariffs or taxes or the ability to regulate trade in this fashion. So what is a lot of people have forgotten in their political judgment, but two courts ruled against this before the Supreme Court did. So it came as no surprise for those of us that actually, you know, pay attention to these things.
And the origin was in, as you say, was in when we're basically at war with somebody or at hostilities with somebody, our ability to avoid benefiting them with our commerce. And that's the kind of the original idea of it, right?
Right. And, you know, he's claiming, like everybody does now, emergency powers that don't really exist. But he was using, you know, for instance, take Brazil, where he put up to 40%. His claim was that one president ordered the arrest of a former president as a national emergency for the United States. And this was his justifications across the board, that how is that affecting our national security? And so, you know, you just some really flimsy logic that was being applied under this statute.
And
it's important. I want to make sure everybody hears this. The president has other mechanisms to apply tariffs that require time. He used IEEPA, so literally on Friday night, he could put in a tariff that went into effect Saturday morning.
The scope of the tariffs, I don't think $200 billion is a hard thing to wrap your brain around. Your company, Blue Wind, supplies the nacelles for GE Vernova. Now, GE Vernova has a lot of different operations in a lot of different states. My son actually works for them up in South Carolina. But just to get a sense of this, how much money in the IEEPA tariffs, that's just the year-old tariffs, how much money has GE Vernova had to pay for those?
Yeah, so obviously a major employer right here in Pensacola, in their last public filing, so this is a public record, they have paid since last April $340 million in less than 1 year. And if you extrapolate that down to GE supply chains, you can rest assured that we have paid in excess of seven figures for a small business. So the losses are very real. And, you know, I've been advising clients, because I have some private clients outside of the Blue Wind world. And let me tell you what's about to happen. So a friend of mine is the CEO of a major hospital chain, one of the largest in the nation. And last year asked me, you know, we've been buddies for years and years, asked me, hey, could you assess? I didn't have the good sense to charge the James Altmaier rate. In hindsight, I should have gotten a little more money. But they're able to, and Walmart announced this over the weekend too, because they have such huge cash flow and the ability, a year ago, they bought a year's worth of consumable supply. So hospital masks, gowns, those sorts of things. So that, you know, my assessment was, you know, it'd take about a year and they would strike down the tariffs. So the major companies were able to pre-purchase and not have to pay the tariff. Well, that's come to an end. And this weekend, Walmart announced they are going to pass the tariff costs now onto the consumers. So people who think we've been getting by, well, we have been on the consumer side, but that's about to come to an end.
Because companies bought up in advance to be able to buffer through the time period of getting the thing struck down.
Yeah. Now, my company, we can't do that. You know, it's cash flow. You know, we were able to accelerate a little bit, but we, you know, we couldn't hedge for an entire year. And so now you're going to start seeing a change on the consumer side, especially if Trump goes through with the ridiculous Section 122 that he's trying to promote now.
It was under the IEEPA statute before, and now, which it's been struck down, which prior courts had said no. And part of that was the ruling by the Supreme Court that this is a major doctrines question, and that if Congress is going to give the president the power to put a tax on the American people, they're going to say so explicitly. You cannot infer this from other things. And it was an inference based on an old, you know, 1974 law that had to do with international problems and being able to avoid benefiting our enemies when we're at hostilities with them. Okay, so Trump got one way of doing tariffs taken away from him, but he's now responded by saying, okay, we're going to do it this other way. Originally at 10%, I think, and now up to 15% kind of across the board with everybody. Can you explain that, Henry?
Yeah, let me interject one thing, though, about the actual refund. Like, how do I get my money back? And I challenge any Republican listening, since I'm pretty sure by now I've been kicked out of the Republican Party. Lower courts already ruled on this, and there is a mechanism for the refund. So the Secretary of Treasury was on this weekend saying they're not going to do refunds. The courts already ruled, and they're going to have to process it, or once again, we're in violation of an order by the Supreme Court and the federal court. So, but
and by the way, that was something which you guys had to file. You had to file your lawsuit in a timely enough manner that basically the clock didn't run out on your ability to make a claim, because customs claims, tariffs claims are different from other things. And there's a limitation on how long. And that's why you guys had to be involved in these lawsuits prior. Because if you had just waited for the Supreme Court, you might have been too late to even file the claim. And so, and there are certainly companies who ran into that as well. But anyway, just more stuff you taught me from before. Yeah. Okay, so the newest round of tariffs, or the replacement tariffs, whatever you want to call them.
122 is the section. It's a 1930 law. And since I had nothing better to do this weekend, the reason I didn't pay attention to 122 is in the federal court case and the Supreme Court, the Trump Department of Justice argued that Section 122 does not apply. So his own DOJ has already argued twice that 122 doesn't apply. So on Friday, when he announced 122, I just kind of chuckled. And what it is, it's a law from 1930, and it refers to the ability of the president to place tariffs when there's a balance of payments. Now, this is different from balance of trade. So we have an imbalance of trade with China. You know, obviously, everybody can understand that. But the payments are the money flowing between the nations, and it's important to understand that balance of payments includes capital. So it's not just I'm paying for things, but it's the whole how much money flows into Wall Street. So the argument right there is already facetious. You know, I'm pretty sure if, and I'm putting an if on, if he actually signs the executive order to implement these, a federal court's going to put an injunction on this very quickly.
Immediately.
almost immediately. It's just a ludicrous application of that section. It's never been applied before.
And also, but, again, you mentioned it, but just I want to make sure it doesn't escape people's notice that the Department of Justice, or, you know, in the Solicitor General, in arguing in Supreme Court, argued that that form of tariffs isn't relevant, which is why they use the IEEPA ones. Now, when IEEPA gets struck down, they're going to turn around and say, no, 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 those are perfectly fine. Those are exactly right.
Right. That's what I'm saying is they're on the record is arguing against, his DOG is on the record is arguing against this. It's you know, but there's an interesting clause in this one. Well, let's just say it somehow stands up. Within 150 days, Congress has to reauthorize the use of 122. So 150 days, March, April, May, June, July. Anything going on this summer that might be of interest to the political world?
Like primaries, you mean?
Like primaries. So he's going to put the Republicans under the gun if the courts don't do him a favor. And by the way, as a Republican, I can tell you the Supreme Court did Trump a favor. He should have taken the win with the being struck down and walked away. Because this is going to increase inflation. The 122, he's leading the Republicans down the primrose path if this stands up and they actually have to vote on it this summer. I mean, imagine having to take that vote to reauthorize these.
One of the key things that I think maybe doesn't get mentioned as much, you mentioned it right at the very beginning of our conversation, is that Trump has other mechanisms even still. The big difference with IEEPA is that he could declare the emergency and do it immediately. Other avenues, and as I understand it, there have been dozens, if not hundreds, of other investigations implemented in order to create the justification for implementing other tariffs on the basis of evidence and notice and public comment and all that. Is that right?
Absolutely. There's what they call the Section 301 and 232s. And this is what he used in his first administration.
Those are the ones back in 2018, 2017, that vicinity. Okay.
Right. There's an investigative process. Department of Commerce conducts investigations into the allegations laid out by the president. And then, but we, anyone affected or not affected, there was a public comments period. So you could write and submit, you know, go to Commerce and you know, we I think, write in the Constitution, redress or petition for redress, you know. We, the citizens, companies, have the opportunity under those statutes to participate in the decision. So if a ruling goes against us, well, I may not like the ruling, but the process is fair, and the 232 and 301s have held up to court scrutiny. The courts have ruled, hey, these processes, Congress gave a full, as you said earlier, the, you know, there's a permission slip in there. You know, a process and a permission slip. So the problem for Trump is those take a long time, and he likes to be reckless. And, you know, from a practical point of view,
or run out the clock on the process until you can get the other process in place. I mean, six of one, half done the other, right? Get to the end goal.
But one of the entertaining things being a broker is, you know, of course, we have our own chat groups and emergency meetings this weekend, and I've got one Tuesday. But during the IEEPA tariffs, people at 7 a.m. would pay a different tariff than a company would pay later in the day based on when the cargo arrives in the U.S. And, you know, legally, with my license, you know, I am legally bound to protect the revenue of the United States, which is to say I'm supposed to make sure the right amount is paid for the right material. And if you're changing the rules, the importer of record, you know, if they pay the wrong tariff, they can be fined. It's like doing your taxes wrong.
Right.
And when the system is that erratic, we've introduced so much uncertainty, what happens is businesses stop investing. And this is the point we're reaching. You know, you mentioned one of the things earlier with the great Rubio speech about rebuilding shipbuilding and submarines. And these are things that we're looking to get into. Only I have a seven-figure hole in my pocket that I would love to invest in equipment and people. That I told people, no, when the IEEPA gets struck down, we'll get the money back. Now I'm having my own U.S. government argue against me getting the right to my own money to turn around and reinvest in my community. So I'm a little salty this morning.
I notice
how I would summarize.
It's understandable. No, but it's
how
a great
I would summarize the day.
But it's a good point. I mean, you know, there's the uncertainty created by all of this, the instability, the investment that harms investment companies that would have otherwise, like, you know, you said before that the Blue Wind folks under these circumstances wouldn't have started this because of the uncertainty. And
yeah,
like you say, you now you're not even expecting necessarily to get your money back that they owe you from the IEPA tariffs that were struck. I mean, It's crazy La La Land stuff, but that's why I wanted you on, Henry. We're totally out of time.
Well, thank you.
But thank you so much for helping this morning. And I know it's a lot to digest for folks, but Henry Kelly, he's a licensed customs broker, and he also is a principal at Blue Wind here locally. Henry, thanks for the time, man. I appreciate the education.
Thank you, Andrew.
Absolutely. And again, that was, of course, yesterday morning, not this morning, in case you were wondering. Lots of information. Oh, my goodness, in that interview. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are great at this. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, obviously, you know, you need a good realtor who's going to get you the best deal either direction, you know, higher selling, lower buying. But if you're building a new home, like you want to buy a new home, you might think, well, what do I need a realtor for that? I'll just buy directly from the builder. And, of course, you can. Okay. But one of the things that you get when you have Christina working for you is she knows all the deals. She knows all of the discounts, all of the things that these builders are willing to do. And there are a lot of things that they are willing to do. And she can negotiate for you the very best deal possible. So that's part one, is you absolutely will get the best price on even a new home, which you might not think of with a realtor. But the other thing is when you take delivery of that home, it's a very normal thing for people because you don't buy and sell homes very often, you know, rarely, and maybe not a new home ever before. But you don't know what exactly you should complain about, which things need to be fixed. You're kind of, you don't want to be a jerk. Okay. Most people are normal, nice people. They don't want to complain about every little thing. And she's like, oh no, give me that roll of blue tape. We're going to complain about everything because anything that is not perfect needs to be fixed. And she literally calls herself the blue tape queen. And again, it's the difference of having an advocate on your side who really knows what's going on, knows what's reasonable, knows what you can get, and will make sure to defend your rights or your interests the whole way through. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 786-3996.
Did you know? Economic development is not about slogans. It is about outcomes. Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to recruit and support businesses that generate high-wage jobs, significant capital investment, and long-term tax base growth. That means stronger public services and a more competitive Escambia County without raising taxes. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know those big banks where you're just an account number, where customer service is a chatbot, and hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penair Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few, if any, fees, and service from people who know you by name. So why bank big when you can bank better? Visit penair.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA.
President Trump will deliver the State of the Union address tonight. Hear it live on News Radio 92.3.
Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing.
Hey, listen up. If anybody need me, I'm going to be working a big, big case for the FBI.
Good morning, 5:58, News Radio 92.3. It's one of those days where you can say to your spouse, I'm freezing, and it actually is freezing out. So it's actually a little bit below, and if you get farther inland, it's much below, you know, in the upper 20s even. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Crews are working to restore power to hundreds of homes and businesses after a record-setting snowstorm battered the Northeast. Apparently, there's a bunch of outages in Massachusetts this hour.
What did I see? I think the number I saw was like 30 inches of snow. I don't know, some crazy number. And this is a huge storm in the Northeast. Yeah.
Absolutely. And actor Robert Carradine has died at 71.
Carradine.
Yes, sorry.
Okay.
A member of the famous family of actors. He took his own life after a years-long battle with a bipolar disorder.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Well, that's horrible news, but thank you for that. Coming up next, we're going to continue talking about the property tax referendum that the House passed and more insanity around that.
Local news every